Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. This is the channel where women from all walks of life can stop by, get tools and resources to help them thrive 360 in mind, body, spirit, and finances. I invite you to stay connected, subscribe to this channel, and visit me online at thecindyrand.com. Now for today's segment. Hello, beautiful people. This is Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. So super excited, as usual, to be before you. We have an awesome guest today. But first, as usual, let's do a little housekeeping. Our power quote of today is, there is something more important than logic, the imagination. And that comes from Alfred Hitchcock. All right. Our sponsor for today's segment is Envision Tax and Accounting Services. They work with all types of industries, with small businesses, tailored to the entrepreneur that's acquiring a business or starting a business. Give them a call at 407-951-1492 or visit them online at envisiontaxandaccountingservices.com. All right. So please help me welcome
Naima.
You know, I tell people all the time, I say, I will butcher a name. So that's why I'm tread lightly. Naima Elijah. Naima is a beautiful, beautiful soul that started her career as a professional actress. She worked her way out of poverty in South Chicago and earned a psychology degree from Harvard. After an acting tour as a puppeteer and a few years on Boston stages, she became a mother and she quickly became a single mom with three kids under six. Now, mind you, people, I already know that she has poured and poured into these children who are now pouring back into her. Please help me welcome Naima with her story of resilience, and let's empower us all.
Hi. I love your voice. That was fun.
Oh my God, stop it. And I'm hoarse with like four or five different bottles of water.
No, now it's reaching into the depths. Go ahead.
I appreciate that so much. Tell us about your journey. Tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today. That is your level of success.
Absolutely. So like you said, I started off south of Chicago. I grew up in a community where, you know, there was a lot of teenage pregnancy. There was, you know, gang and drug activity. And a lot of violence. And I think when I think back on my childhood, I think there was a pervasive fear. I was afraid of being bullied. I was afraid of being beaten up. Both of those things happened. And I wanted something different. And I didn't know what that something was, right? I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to find. I just knew I wanted a different experience. And my parents really focused on education, right? Education is the path to something else. Now, there was a point where there were more kids in the NFL from my high school than any place else in America, but I was not going to be a football player, obviously, right? So I focused on the education and theater. Theater sort of gave me a place for joy in the midst of all of the things that felt kind of scary. And so then transitioning to Harvard was a whole experience. That was where I really started to lean into the concept of being an outsider, like really feeling that I didn't belong, you know? And so around so much wealth, right? Growing up where there wasn't always food on the table, and now being in a place where there was just so much waste, it was a strange, you know, foreign place. You know, you're not in Kansas anymore kind of an experience, right? And, but I was able to create really incredible friendships and really lean into knowledge and learning things that I found to be really fascinating, and also do a lot of theater. Just, I directed shows, I acted in shows, I costumed shows. I did a lot of theater and enjoyed that experience. And so then I graduated and everybody else was going to investment banking and consulting, and I didn't know what either one of those things were. And I didn't have a plan. So I just graduated and I, without a plan, which I guess you're not supposed to do.
These days, yeah.
Right. And so I took a job as an executive assistant and continued to do theater and found my way into a tour with the American Repertory Theater. So I got to travel for a year. I spent a month in London performing at the Barbican, and I was a puppeteer, so it was a low stress thing. I didn't have to remember any lines or worry about my voice, So it was a really incredible experience. And then, came back. 9/11 happened 2 days after we returned from tour. So the world was shifting, and I again didn't have a plan. So I took an executive assistant job in Boston and started doing local theater and building my career as an actress here in Boston. But I always had to have a day job, right? Like I had to be able to pay the bills, I had to be able to send money back home to mom, help take care of my siblings, and all of that. And so I did that, and I had various different day jobs. And then at some point, it sort of clicked that it's time to build a career. So at this point, I was working at State Street Bank, and I was an executive assistant and office manager, and I started to climb the corporate ladder. Well, I had been an assistant to a lot of CEOs of startups and larger companies kind of all over the place, and I was used to being close to the power. And so when you're building your way up from the bottom rung, it's really hard to not say what you feel, ask for what you want, exert yourself when you're used to being the voice of the most powerful person in the room. So I climbed the corporate ladder from executive assistant to managing director in 10 years and was able to influence a lot of different parts of the organization. But while I was there, the thing that brought me the most joy was mentorship and coaching. And so being able to coach and train the people around me and realizing far too frequently that I was the only in the room, the only woman, the only person of color. And so being intentional about finding and coaching young women, young people of color. And if you're interested in figuring out how to do this, I'm here to help you and to make it possible because I want you in the room with me. I don't want to represent all Black people or all women or anything, right? I want us to, have a collective voice. And so I did that work, coaching, mentoring, and really helping people to be able to move forward in their careers. And then I was working on an acquisition. It was the acquisition was canceled, and I found myself on the list for a layoff. And so I took that opportunity, and I think, there were some opportunities to stay with the organization, but none of them felt like the right fit. And so I left, and I wrote a vision for a consultancy that focused on developing talent, right? Like, what are the problems that we face that lead to attrition, and particularly women, right? Like, we had an attrition problem with Black women at the VP level. Like, I was aware of that because Black women weren't being promoted from VP to managing director. So how do we identify those problems? How are we holding women back? And what can we do about that? And so now I do that work in my own business. I go into companies and I help them with how do you have performance conversations? How do you develop your employees and help them with mobility? And I help with communication, right? Like my theater background led to work around public speaking and communication. And so I coach individuals and I coach companies. And the goal is for those of us who identify as outsiders and who are constantly struggling to figure out how we make it work in this space, how can we thrive just like everybody else does in these spaces? And I tell you, the work is fulfilling every single day. Like
That's
I'm walking in joy in ways that I could not have possibly imagined. So that's where I am now. And you mentioned the kids. So I have three kids. They're 15, 17, and 19. My 19-year-old is in his second year of university in the UK. Actually, he's not 17. He just turned 18. My 18-year-old is working on applications right now to go to Tokyo for school in the spring. And my daughter is a sophomore in high school. And we are right now talking about going to either Seoul or Amsterdam for college for her.
awesome. Now, what was the inspiration to have them study abroad?
I always wanted to travel, and it wasn't possible, right? When I was younger, we didn't have the money. And then when I was building my career, I was building and the money was never there.
Yes.
Right. And so our first international trip was the year before my son's senior year. And we had started talking about the possibility of going to school internationally. And then I started looking into it and realizing it's way cheaper, right? His tuition is $12,000 a year for a university, right? In Tokyo, my son's tuition is going to be $9,000 a year. Like, this is crazy talk, right? And so it's much more manageable from a financial perspective, but also it gives them an opportunity to become global citizens, to see the world from a completely different perspective.
Not just the box.
They're going to schools where they can take their entire program in English, so there's no language barrier. They are expected to learn the language while they're there, but they'll be able to learn in English and not be stressed about whether they're missing something because they don't understand the translation, right? And so, as we dug into it with my first son, I said, okay, this is a rule. You can go to school anywhere you want. You can study anything you want as long as it's not in the US. It is a mandatory international experience. And then after that, go wherever you like, right? You can stay, you can come back, whatever you want to do. But like, let's switch up the perspective.
I mean, mom's an adult now, but just at the thought, I really love that concept because a lot of times, especially with you saying you're coming from the south side of Chicago and all of the elements that you had to basically overcome and bypass in order to focus on what your parents said about getting an education.
Right.
But to challenge them further, to push them outside of the nest, outside of the box. To stretch them to a point where, now they have, I think, in high school, in any type of high school where they want you to learn a foreign language, but, prior to graduation, but this allows them to basically, kind of illuminate that because now you're there with the culture, you're
Yes.
there with, the people, you're learning a different culture, which is very, very important.
Yes.
You have to see things. People, mention about the glass half full, half empty, yada, 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 whatever. My thing is, you have to see beyond where you are. That to me is the biggest level of dreaming. That's the biggest level of success. And I always define success at a person's level as what you consider success, not what everybody else considers success.
That's
So
right.
to hear that you're pushing, them outside of the nest to want more, that's so exciting. That I'm excited and I'm not even going on the trip with them. That's just so exciting. So listen, this. As an outsider, you said, thriving as an outsider and climbing the corporate ladder. What were the steps, or what would be the steps that you would offer somebody or encourage them with as far as climbing the corporate ladder if they're feeling like an outsider in the corporate realm?
Yeah, so part of it is just taking risks, right? And so there's a few things. One, when you're looking at a job opportunity, you should not be looking to have 100% of the skills required. If you have 100%, then you are overqualified, right?
Yes, yes,
If you when you walk up to a new role, you have something to offer to the company, but they should have something to offer to you as well. So I say you should have about 60% of the requirements, and the rest of that should be your learning curve. And I think we as women tend to say, well, I'm not ready yet. I haven't done all of those things. I
No,
don't
you
know all of
interview
those.
yourself. You're interviewing
Right?
yourself. You're
Right?
not giving them the opportunity to weigh apples to apples, grapes to grapes. You are
Exactly.
interviewing yourself based off what you feel like you lack
Right?
versus what you have to
And the
offer.
reality is, you may only have 60% of what's on that spec, but you got 100% of something else that they didn't know they were looking for. They didn't know until you walked into the room that you were what they were looking for. And so counting yourself out because you're not at 100% is one thing that absolutely has to stop. The second thing is recognizing, so as women, we grow up in the world learning to not make men uncomfortable, right? When you're a little girl, if you make a boy uncomfortable on the playground, he might punch you in the stomach, right? And then when you are a young woman, if you make a man uncomfortable in a bar, he might assault you or insult you or like any number of things, right? So your whole life as a little girl, as a young woman, you learn, be careful, don't make men uncomfortable. And then you walk into corporate spaces where, by and large, the men are in charge, and you're not asking for a raise. You're not negotiating your salary. You're not pushing back when you when something's not going the way it's supposed to go, and you're not asking for the opportunity that you want because these all fall under the umbrella of uncomfortable conversations. And we don't have uncomfortable conversations with men. So recognizing where you're pulling back and where, you know, maybe think, if my manager was a woman, would I approach this differently? Would I feel more comfortable having this conversation? And I feel like it's really important to sort of unpack that and realize where you're pulling yourself back, where you're holding back, and negotiate, ask, challenge, right? That's really important to be able to climb. And then the other piece I think that's super important is your network. So we always talk about the challenge of having women leaders in your network because they are still fighting for their space. And so they can't always make space for you because they haven't arrived yet in their own minds, right? And so we want these women leaders to you know, hold us and to pull us up and to open doors and all of those things. But a lot of times the most senior women in the organization have less power than the senior men in the organization. So while you want to have a community of women who are working together and cultivating the progression of women within the company, it is also extremely important to have male mentors, to have sponsors who are—
I was waiting for you to go there. I was waiting because that's a powerful unit.
Yes.
All aside.
Yes.
You will get a lot from men when it comes to business, when it comes to corporate ladder, when it comes to leadership, you'll learn a lot. And I'm the busy woman's cheerleader, but I've been around men. You learn a lot.
That's exactly right. When I got my offer for my managing director promotion, this was a huge deal, right? We had been talking about it and I had been working towards it. When I got my offer, I called a senior male leader within the organization who was a level or two up from me. And I said to him, this is the offer that I got. If you were in my place and you got this offer, would
send
you
it back?
Negotiate?
Send it back.
Right? And he was able to tell me where my offer was in comparison to the rates for that level in the organization. He was able to put it in the context of the financial situation that the organization was in and give me guidance on how to respond to that offer. So I always coach people, you never accept an offer on the spot. No matter how amazing it sounds, you never accept the offer on the spot. You say, thank you. I'm really excited about this opportunity. Can you please give me 48 hours? Now, in that 48 hours, they might come back to you with another offer because they're afraid you're going to walk away. But even if they don't, in that 48 hours, you want to do your research. You want to talk to somebody who knows, who can give you insight into whether that offer is what it should be, or whether you should negotiate. And sometimes you just go back just to see if they can, right? I've had a lot of young women go back and negotiate. They're like, well, what I really wanted was this. I'm like, okay, so ask for it and see what happens.
Exactly.
And your expectation is, you know, they're gonna offer you here, you're gonna ask for here, and you're gonna end up here. I can't tell you how many times they offered here, you countered here, and they gave you here, right? And so, having the confidence to say, thank you, give me a moment. Having the confidence to come back and say, I would feel more comfortable with, right? And then recognizing that the recruiters are the voice of the management. They are not the authority.
Right.
And so a recruiter may push back and say, oh no, you can't ask for that. You can always ask for it. You can always ask for it.
All they can say is yes or no. You know, my background is in accounting.
Yeah.
I've been an accountant for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so you're taking me down memory lane. As you're taking me down memory lane, because there were a lot of doors for me, and I'm thankful and grateful to this day, that were opened for me by a man.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And there were some doors that were shut for me from a woman.
Yes.
So I stand, you know, on the fence with that. It depends on the individual. It depends on, you know, where you are, what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember even as far as like fighting for more for me and being that person in the boardroom, like I said, as an accountant and the CFO and the controller, you know, you're in there with a room full of men that are in control of these companies, and you're supposed to support and you know, give the financials.
Yes.
And sometimes the news is not good when your KPIs are off and all these different, losses. But again, that level of communication, regardless of whether it's male or female, cat or dog, It's a level of communication that is expected. Mm-hmm. It's expected. One thing that I was taught over the years through, I would say my tribe, never do any negotiations while you're tired. If you know that you didn't get enough sleep, if you know that, you know, you've got a lot going on, be okay saying, and my word was always, let me wrap my mind around that. Can I get back with you? Let me wrap my mind around it. When you said that 48 hours, you know, kind of wrap my mind. I appreciate this so much. I said, but you know, my brain's on hold today. I just want to, you know, be able to kind of unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it on ice until I could actually wrap my mind around it. And it's just, as you said, a lot of times they would contact me back because, okay, there's a counter offer, but if you don't say anything, you'll never know what that is. A lot of times they will try to lowball you, but as you begin to climb, you will find a lot of times when they know your value and your worth and what you're bringing to the table, a lot of times they'll say, okay, so is this okay with you? Or did you have a chance to view, you know, the pay scale? Is that okay with you? You can get those types of offers and dialogues and conversations going when you, as you said before, you know who you are, you're walking into the room and you know that you're bringing something.
That's right.
It's reciprocal. And you need something from me and I need something from you. Let's find that medium point.
Yes. Yes. And I think so that's like really good guidance in terms of how we're thinking about the offer itself. But then when you're thinking about climbing the ladder, right? Like what's the next step? What's the next step? There's a couple of things that I think about. So one is within your first week, you're having conversations about how I grow in this role and what does success look like? And what does it mean? Like, what's a reasonable timeline for me to think about how I grow from here to the next step? How do I prove myself, right? And so they may say to you, here's what's expected for you to be successful in this role. And then for the next level up, we're going to need you to exhibit skills around X, Y, and Z. Okay, great. Now I know the skills that I need to build to take that next step. And I can do that alongside the learning of this role.
Yes, milestones. Right?
And I had a leader tell me, I think I was a week into being a VP, right? I'm brand new and all excited, right? And she sat me down and she said, what's next? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she said, my question for you is, do you want to grow out or do you want to grow up, right? Do you want to expand your scope and do this work more broadly across multiple divisions? Or do you want to go deeper and move into the corporate function that has oversight for this function, you know, for this process across the organization? Where do you want to grow? And I said, well, I'm not sure. I hadn't thought about that. And she said, that's how I want you to think about it, because how you learn this role
is going
to be different, right? If you want to move into the corporate function, you're going to learn one aspect of it. And if you want to expand at this level, you're going to learn a different aspect of it. So how, from day one, you're thinking about how do I want to grow, but you're also having a partnership with your leaders where you're talking about how you want to grow. So when you get ready to ask for a promotion, nobody's like, oh, well, I don't know, right? We've been talking about it.
Yes. Yes.
Right. We're working towards this promotion together. We want me to get promoted. Right. It's
well,
not.
You know, it's just like with me saying never become complacent.
No.
This fits right in it, because a lot of times when people get what they consider a top tier position, they'll sit there and get stale and be there for 30, 40 years and wonder why they've not received any promotions, while they've, you know, barely received raises, because you got there and you stayed in that spot, right in that little sweet spot at that moment.
Yeah,
you know, and never move, never ask about anything outside of that. Like, okay, I'm good. But then you get upset when somebody comes in from outside, hasn't put in that time and grit and seniority or tenure in the company, and surpasses, they pass you.
And hey, guess what? If you leave and go someplace else, you're that guy coming from outside who can step into the leadership position and who everybody believes in and has faith in because of what the work that you put in at your previous company. And so I tend not to sit still in a single place more than 2 years.
Good.
And like, you know, 2 years is my number, but your number might be five, your number might be seven, whatever it is. But for me, 2 years is the number. I come in and I'm a transformation agent. So transformation shouldn't take more than that. right? Right. I'm going to assess the situation. I'm going to build a plan. I'm going to implement that plan. And while I'm doing that, I'm grooming the person who's going to run it in business as usual. And then once I'm finished, I'm moving that person into my seat as I'm moving someplace else to go do some more transformation. And that's how I operate. If you're thinking about how do I move up and your goal is building your skill set, building your wallet, right? Building your bank account and building your seniority, then you can't sit in one seat to do it. You have to be willing to jump around. So I went from research to business continuity to information security to compliance to governance to an acquisition. I did all of these different things. And each time I moved, I was able to expand my skill set, learn some new things, get a better understanding of how the organization worked. I did all of this over 13 years in one organization.
That's awesome.
And so being willing to take a risk and jump outside of your comfort zone and try something, like, I don't think we all have a clear understanding of transferable skills, right? What I know how to do in this space doesn't make me this. It means I know how to do this.
Yes.
And those skills are also useful to do that over there and that over there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so understanding your transferable skills or asking somebody, what are my transferable skills?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know?
Soft skills. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about climbing the corporate ladder, I'm going to ask a question just as an open end, end here. What are your thoughts on, and mind you, I'm from a different generation. You know, you're from a different generation than your children. Then you've got, you know, all of these that are, you know, these other generations. What is your thought on the corporate climbing or the desire to climb the corporate ladder? And being a package. And when I say a package, I'm talking about the cleanliness and the distinguishing from street clothes to play clothes to office attire to church clothes, the club clothes. What are your thoughts, just as an open-end statement?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about climbing that corporate ladder and not taking that particular package in tow?
So we're talking about code switching. And I did a workshop where I talked about code switching for some very young people. I think they were college interns. And I asked them, I said, I want you to tell me the difference in how you behave when you are on the basketball court and when you're at your grandmama's house. Okay, now I want you to tell me the difference in how you behave when you're in the classroom and when you're at your best friend's house playing video games. We have different language that we use. We have a different costume that we wear, right? We have a different way that we communicate. We have different demeanor in different places in our lives. And everybody does this, right?
Yes.
I'm not gonna act the same way with my grandma that I act with my best friend. We just don't, right? And what we have to accept is that when we go to work, this is a separate demeanor. It's not, you're not selling out, right? You're not losing yourself. You're finding the version of yourself that makes sense in this space. Now, I looked up at one point, I think when I started working at the bank, my dresses were coral and royal blue and like vibrant greens. And I had all these beautiful colors. And about 2 years in, I went and looked at my closet and I was like, why is everything black and navy? Like, how did that happen so fast? And I just, as I was buying things over the course of my time there, I started to buy things that fit more into the look of the organization. But when I realized that, I pulled back and I started pushing some color back into my wardrobe.
Oh, definitely push color.
Because
color and the shoes and purse, the shoes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I had somebody say to me at one point, they were like, do you have a whole closet for coats? I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, I feel like every time I see you, you've got a different coat and they're different colors and all of that.
That's
and
probably like, the case. Yes.
Right. You know, and so the reality is that you want to cultivate your look.
And your personality in that look, but there's a certain
Yes. And you want to understand, like, what are the parameters? What are the boundaries for what fits in this space, right? I can wear jeans to work, but my jeans need to be a dark wash with no holes, and they need to be fit comfortably and not be, super snug tight, right? I can wear a sweater to work, but it's not a hoodie, right? And so it's like there are aspects of all the different things that you wear that you can wear to work. You just want to be intentional about the quality and making sure that it fits within the culture of the organization. You can wear sneakers to work, but the sneakers should not be like a bunch of sort of loud branded stuff. They should be sort of simple, understated, or they can be colorful, but they need to be colorful within the context of your job and how you're supposed to present yourself in the space. So, yes, you do have to dress for work, right? And I've been teaching my kids this their whole lives. Like when they were younger, I made my boys wear khakis and polo to school every day. And they were allowed to wear jeans on gym day. And other than that, it was khakis and polos every day. And that was their uniform. And they learned early that you wear certain clothes for certain spaces, right? And so I think, people struggle with it. And it's just like, well, I gotta be me. It's like, yes, you absolutely do have to be you, but you have to figure out the version of you that fits in this space.
Absolutely. And there's always a version of you that will fit in a space. And then too, a lot of times again, you're desiring to reach a certain level, but you have to keep in mind, just as they come to you with a job description, which is a package, which will also have your benefits, your office space, or whatever it is, the equipment or tools that you need, they're expecting the same reciprocal,
Yes.
same thing.
Yeah.
So I've just always, and that's what I push to the young ladies that I work with. I push the same thing when they have me on these speaker panels and they're asking about, somebody laying the way, mentioned that earlier, somebody preparing the way. Of course, there's always someone who did something, or I would say treaded some uncharted territory that we've not treaded until a certain point in time. However, you have to also hold yourself accountable, and you have to also hold your actions accountable. So you don't want to go in and not know how to communicate, not know how to ask for what you desire to have. But then again, you have to know that whatever that is that you're saying you can bring, be able to bring it. Have
Yes.
that confidence in yourself to know that whatever this is that I'm promising, I know I need to bring that. I need to bring it. So this is so insightful. I have enjoyed this. What is next for you? Tell us what's next for Knight.
So right now my business is 1 year old, and I've had an incredible first year. I launched on Halloween, so that's my happy. I told you that's my happy day. So right now, I've got a public speaking workshop that one of my clients is hosting for BIPOC professionals. And so I will share that link with you, and you can share with folks. It's local in Boston, and so if any of your listeners are in Boston, you're welcome to sign up. And it's specifically for BIPOC professionals. We want to create a safe space for people to be able to talk about their challenges with public speaking and challenges with communication at large, within corporate settings. It can be challenging, right? Like you're going to be called aggressive, and so kind of how to navigate that. So working on that, and then really working to kind of build out my access to different companies. And so I'm looking for champions to bring me into companies to be able to do this work. And so, if you're listening and you work for a company where you feel like a Thriving as an Outsider course would have some value, or a public speaking course would have some value, reach out to me, and I'd love to come into your organization and help to build that. And I generally, my focus area is women and people of color, but I work with everyone. I work with everyone, so I'm always excited to do this work. So my company is called Elias Presence Ventures, and my LinkedIn will be shared in the notes for people to be able to read.
It most certainly will. So I didn't need to say anything because you covered it. It'll all be in the description. And we are so super excited to have you. I thank you so much for being here. I sincerely do. And we'll definitely have to tread these waters again.
I love it. Thank you so much, Cindy. It was great talking with you.
Thank you again for tuning in to Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Follow me on social media at Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Remember, together we write our stories, share our journeys, create memories, and leave our marks in history. Until next time, peace, blessings, and joy be multiplied to you. Ta-ta.